Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Up and Adam, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
New week?
Sure.
Meet it head on.
Yeah.
This is your week. This is your time. Go out and grab it.
Wow.
I know, I'm like,
you're really motivated.
I'm like Herb Brooks in Miracle. I watched that movie the other day.
Yeah.
What a great movie. God, that's such a great movie. That speech he gives prior to the game against the Soviets. Oh my God.
How much is pimple? Like, how much is that is like verbatim real and how much is fabricated? How much creative license do you think they have?
A bit. I think that speech was, from what I've read, was pretty spot on. I mean, they took some liberties, of course, but the scene where they're skating, they're doing their, after the game skates in the dark. That's a true story.
Yeah.
Herbies. They called them Herbies.
Herbies?
Herbies. So, yeah.
Can you imagine if Herb Brooks coached today?
Oh, with those methods?
They'd lock him up in jail.
That's right. You're being too hard on the boys.
Yeah, you're being
way too hard on the boys. Yeah. So for those of you who are craving yourself some Deshaun Watson, and man, it is. if George Payton thinks you can just run it back with Drew Lock, for all of us who think that, hey, maybe Drew Lock has another jump in his game. Maybe that could happen. But I think the court of public opinion is pretty much spoken that they want something bigger and better and brighter, shinier. So here you go. John McClain, who we reference a lot on this show, he's the preeminent Houston columnist. He's the most locked in guy in Houston.
Yeah, he's been around forever. He's done this thing forever.
So he said over the weekend, it's time for the Texans to start entertaining trade offers. Now, I don't know if that's just his read on the situation or perhaps he's talked to some people, but his point is that, look, Deshaun Watson's making it pretty clear. He's not going to back down. You can try to wait this out. You can try to fine him. You can hope that he comes crawling back. It's not going to happen. So you might as well rip the Band-Aid off and get it done. We got about, 8 weeks to the draft?
Yeah, end of April, right? When's the draft? End of April?
Yeah.
Something like that?
So does it happen?
You think it happens before the draft? All right, so what do we know about the Houston Texans? They've alienated their star quarterback who they've just paid, right? They've gotten to the point where he doesn't want to talk to them. He talked to the new head coach, David Culley, but it was just like over the phone. They haven't met in person. It was just like, whatever, right? So we also know that you've paid him a lot of money. So sitting out is not going to be an issue. Like, he's got plenty of money to sit out the sum total of a year if he wants to and essentially hold you hostage. So, I mean, it looks to me to be that the writing is on the wall. He is going to force his way out of Houston. It's either do we want to do it now? Do you want to be petty and punish him for a year before you trade him? Or do you want to get max value for him before the draft? And I don't think his value drops at all going into next year, but, just depends on how Houston wants to play their cards, I guess.
At some point, don't you just have to move on? As an organization, you swallow the bitter pill, you move on, because you run the risk of this becoming such a toxic place that nobody wants to be there. If you take a guy who's popular like Watson, respected like Watson, and you do him wrong in the eyes of NFL players, college players coming up, Houston becomes just a dumping ground that you don't want anybody to go near.
Right.
So are you better off just, all right, hey, it didn't work out. make the deal, move on, and try to recover. It'll take a while, but try to recover that way.
Well, I mean, the damage is done. Can you repair it in the next 4 weeks? Is there a potential of repair? And I don't know that, like, even if you come out and try to figure that out with Deshaun Watson, has Deshaun dug in so far that now you look bad if you try to repair the situation? You know what I'm saying? Like, does it bring into question your integrity or your, you know,
well, especially if all you're doing to quote unquote repair the relationship is just sitting on him and finding him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just say, well, if that's the way you're going to do it, fine. We'll find you.
Right.
We'll go after your signing bonus. Things like that.
Wow. Which does, which again, makes you even that much more of a toxic dumping ground when it comes to free agency and everything else. Nobody wants to be there.
So I get this text, and this just came in. Thank you from Greg. Good God, enough with the Deshaun Watson talk. It ain't going to happen. Yes, it is. Greg, it is going to happen. Where would you place the odds right now, Mark? Your read of the situation. Where would you place the odds of Deshaun Watson playing another snap for the Houston Texans?
Oh, man. I would say right now there's probably a 90% chance that he's gone, 10% that he plays another snap in Houston.
All right, so
tops.
All right, so to Greg, we're talking about a 90% chance of this happening.
Even if it's 80 or 70.
Right. And I don't know how much is true when it comes to the Broncos being the front runner and Deshaun Watson, you know, telling people that he would like to play in Denver. But I do believe he is on a pretty short list of teams that he'd like to come play for. So if you're telling me there's a 90% chance that he's going to be dealt and the Broncos are one of the teams that are on that short list, then yeah, it is worth talking about. And when you have somebody prominent like McClain come out over the weekend and say, hey, come on, Texans, I've read the situation. I've talked to people. He's not going to cave. Might as well trade him now. Or, you know, before the draft.
Right.
So, I don't know, Greg. I think it's news.
I think all you have to do is look at the league. I mean, just to your point for Greg, look at the league. I mean, take a look at it. How many people have forced their way out of a situation? I mean, every year we have a Le'Veon Bell. We had last year, last summer or last spring, we had the Adams situation, right? Jamal Adams forced his way out of the Jets into Seattle. I mean, this is something. Yeah, I mean, you could look at Antonio Brown. This is something that is happening every single offseason. Every year it's happening.
And you know where it may have started? This whole movement we're seeing with players wanting to be able to pick where they go and all of that. You know where it may have started? It may have started right here. And we'll tell you how next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
No matter the story, big or small, we try to make it all about us. And when I say all about us, I mean, you know, here in Denver.
Sure.
6 degrees of Peyton Manning. Ready to play that game?
Yeah, sure.
So check this out. Clyde Christensen, who is the Tampa Bay Bucks quarterbacks coach.
Yes.
Longtime coach in Indy.
Yes, he was.
Knows Peyton very well.
Yes, he did. Or well, does.
Christensen did a radio show recently, and he talked about how Brady was motivated to do what Peyton did. And he said Brady told him, and this is Christensen saying, quote, he said one of the things that looked really fun and challenging to him is what Peyton did in Denver. There was something about that challenge that hit Brady right. Hey, I'm going to see if I can do this again somewhere else. And now you fast forward to, I think, Russell Wilson being at the Super Bowl. He's accepting the Walter Payton Award.
Right.
Watching Brady, a guy that took a Super Bowl away from him mm-hmm. with help, being able to sort of pick his spot, where he wanted to go, had all kinds of input into the offense, something that, as we're learning more and more, Seattle said, no thanks, Russ. We got this. And also having a say in personnel, Russell Wilson now wants some of that. But it all started with Peyton. Okay, see how I did that? 6 degrees of Peyton, making it all about us.
You didn't even throw Elway in there, right? Draft me Baltimore and I'm gonna go to baseball. Like forcing your, I mean, he's the first guy really that I can remember
good
that
point.
Forced his way out of,
good point.
Forced his way out of a situation to get to Denver.
Yep.
So yeah, that is it. That is interesting. And you're 100% right about Brady. I mean, you see it. This is what I love about great competitors like Brady or like, Peyton Manning. Great competitors want to see how they stack up. Like, how much do you think that was Brady going, man, I want to do it apart from Belichick. I want to leave, like, I want to make, hey, even me, I want to find out. You know, I hear it all the time. I believe it's me. Some believe it's Belichick. Let's, you know, like Kubiak, you say, we're fixing to find out because I'm leaving. And I feel like both of those guys were motivated to a degree to say, watch me do it without. You know, I believe it was, I think Mike had the same situation with Elway. Shanahan, right? Don't you feel like, now, obviously Elway was older and everything else and moving on and he retired, but, you know, I think there's with great competitive people, there's always this desire to compete regardless of what you're doing. I just want to compete. And guys who have that kind of fire, unlike many, aren't afraid of failure. They can live with that. You know, the fear is not trying. Like, there's many people that are so motivated, like, motivated by fear in a good way and motivated by fear in a bad way. There's so many people that are so fearful that they won't even try. They'll just say, I'm not gonna step out. And then there are some that are so motivated by fear, they're like, I can't not try. I gotta go out here and see what I'm made of. See what happens. It's a great adventure.
Circumstances were different, of course. I mean, Peyton was hurt and they had played themselves in a position to get Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
So the Colts decision made a lot of sense.
Right. But think about the narrative wasn't much different. The narrative was Brady was washed up. Brady was old. Brady couldn't. I mean, how many people did you hear all over the, oh, he can't throw
think,
it like.
You think Belichick felt that way? Or do you think he just looked at it and said, hey, you know, my rule is it's better to move on from a player too early than too late. And I don't want to give that guy a 2-year contract.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing, right? Saying Brady is diminished to some degree and nobody would know better than Bill Belichick, but this is what I say.
Yeah, but does Peyton Manning even become available if they hadn't played themselves into Andrew Luck?
Right. If that hadn't happened, that would have been different.
But they probably would have taken a chance on, let's see if Peyton can come back healthy.
Right. Let's see if Peyton can return. If they would have been, you know, if they would have been 8-8 and not 2-14 or whatever they were.
Right.
So yes, that would have been different, you know, and it depends on the year. It depends on the year also. Like it would have been 2 years later where it was Bortles and, or a year later where it was Bortles and, you know, and, whoever, then maybe that's different as well. That really interesting. But I'm telling you, one thing that guys do in the league, and this is so different than even when I played, because everybody's so much more connected through Twitter and everybody's so, you know, they're all friends now. is they are experiencing or they are living vicariously through others' experiences, and they can reach right out to them and say, what went down? How was it? You know, and you can have those conversations. Say, hey man, this is, you know, this is the way I thought about it, and this is the way I went through my stuff, because now it's prominent, it's out there, and you see it.
And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think we are going to see whether it's the Manning effect influencing Brady, and now Brady influencing others, mm-hmm. or if it's, and I think there's a lot to these NBA, these NFL guys taking a look at their NBA brethren and saying, hey, look at the control these guys have. Look at how they get to control where they go, who they play for, who they play with. Man, I want some of that. And I think you're only going to see more and more now. The proverbial genie's out of the bottle. Now, I ask you, as a former player, do you like that?
I do. Yeah, I do, to a degree. But I will say this. It's not like...
Why to a degree?
I like pump
the brakes here.
Well, we'll pump the brakes if it turned into the NBA where also Rans are dictating where they go to. Where your average player is getting his max contract and yeah. Yeah, when Deshaun Hamilton's holding the Broncos hostage, then we're in trouble.
Go ahead. I'll call your bluff.
Right.
Right?
Right. But you know what I'm saying. I like the fact that some of the players have got the opportunity. And listen, you don't force your hand when you're playing for a good team. I think to some degree, it's going to hold, it's going to hold the bad franchises accountable. Franchises that don't do it right.
Right.
I'm joking.
Take a little sip of coffee there. Okay. Okay. Easy, big fella. Easy. Oh, did that burn a little bit going down?
I got a little, choked up there.
Yeah.
I got a little.
Talking about player freedoms.
Yeah.
Get you all,
freedom! But you know, I mean.
Mark going all Braveheart here with the NFL.
If you have that, we know there's 22 franchises don't really care about winning. And if you're a star on one of those franchises and you see it's done incorrectly, and now you have the ability to go, are you kidding me? We can, like that's how the rest of the league does it. We had a guy that came over when I played in Washington early in my career, that came over from Cincinnati. He said when they flew to the West Coast, they stopped in Lincoln, Nebraska to refuel.
Oh, jeez.
And he was dead serious. You mean you guys get free Gatorade here? You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay for extra socks here. I'm not kidding you. And so now that the world is small and you can have those conversations, you're like, you guys, what do you guys do? You guys do this and we're doing this. No wonder we don't win. I'm out.
Yep. Coming up, Morning Brew. Hey, if the Rockies needed any more motivation to, play with a chip on their shoulder? Prove the world wrong? Oh, I got something for you. I got something for you. That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs craft being cooler. Step.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
I felt tonight was like Denver Nugget basketball. You know, the ball was moving, bodies were moving. We played for each other. And I talked to our team about that this morning. We have to get back to being a team that is hard to guard. And obviously, I have to continue to help our guys with that.
There he is, Michael Malone.
I keep forgetting when I'm not anymore.
All right, take what the Nuggets did on Saturday and bottle that as they destroyed Oklahoma City 126-96. And he's right. You had all five starters in double figures, 30 assists. They shot 55%, including almost 50% from 3-point, means they were getting a lot of good looks, extra passes. Bottle that, baby. Bottle it.
there's one thing that irritates me, bothers me, just gives me a bit of a rash.
A rash? Oh, okay. What gives you a rash?
The fact that Michael Malone has constantly got to remind his team what winning basketball looks like, what playing for one another looks like. What it just says to me, you don't have anybody on that team that it's the Broncos issue. You don't have anybody on that team that takes control, that has that leadership role. Like, Michael Malone is anytime they play that way, he has to remind them, this is what Nuggets basketball looks like. This is what it should look like, guys. This is how we should play every night. This is the way. Like, when they start to slide, when they have one of those second halves where they give up a 20-point lead, and, like, you can't rely on your coach to blow the whistle. Come here, guys. Come on now. This is not how we play. You know, pat them on their little hineys and say it's going
to
be okay.
It goes back to what George Karl told us last week when he talked about how the Nuggets could really use a real veteran presence. And he talked about, you know, the impact that Chauncey had the year that they went to the Western Conference Finals. That, you know, it's one thing for the coach and the coaches to keep saying it. Mm-hmm. All you need is one veteran respected player to come out and say it. Right. And suddenly everybody, like, oh, perks up. Yeah. The message really gets delivered.
Like one guy to hold you accountable. And it does go to show you, man, it's a lot harder than you think. To build a culture is a lot more difficult than you think. You think guys just step up and take over a leadership role. You think Von Miller's just going to come lead his team. It just doesn't work that way.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I had probably three or four posters of Fopa growing up in my room. So, you know, it goes without saying that he was a big role model for me and somebody I looked up to. And it's nothing that you set out as a goal to tie one of your idols in an app sweater, but, or to pass them for that matter. But I'm sure when it's all said and done, it'll be something cool, no doubt.
Gabe Landeskog, the captain, tying Peter Forsberg for most goals, or not most goals, but all time goal scored among top Avalanche players, 200. And the Avalanche, after losing two in a row for the first time this season, bounced back with two in a row over the weekend at Arizona. Nothing like a little steady dose of the Desert Dogs to get you back on track.
Get you healthy?
Getting healthy against the Oats.
You did hear him say sweater, didn't you?
Yep.
You said jersey the other day.
I did, and I was admonished by texters, and I humbly bowed my head in shame.
Yes.
And said, you are right, sir. May I have another?
I took a 6-hour layoff from talking hockey. Nah, come on. Who am I kidding? I'm taking a 6-year layoff talking hockey.
Next on the Morning Brew. So, Kyle Freeland came out recently and said, hey, everyone's counting us out. Nobody thinks we can win. Everybody seems to think that, you know, we're going to win about 60 games. All right.
You are correct, sir.
You are correct, right? All right, so check this out. I was reading over the weekend, I was reading the Boston Globe. They do a Sunday notes column where they just talk all about baseball, all around baseball. They hit on everything, right? So this was actually a week ago. I read about their reaction to the Nolan deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the writer said, the Colorado Rockies often seem to exist only in theory. Jeez.
Oof.
And they went on to say, in talking about the Rockies, and they just ripped the Rockies for what happened, but their last line was, there go the Rockies, a mile high and out of sight. That's the national perception. But you know what I see it as?
What do you see?
Fuel.
Really?
Fuel. They're going to shock the world.
You know what happened?
They started yesterday with a Cactus League win.
Yeah, yeah.
First of many, baby.
Hung 11 on them.
First of many.
They, you know what they are? They're a spring training juggernaut. Whenever teams aren't trying to win,
you watch.
They'll probably win like 17, 18, 19 games in spring training.
You know they
have like a 19-11 spring training record. Get us all excited.
Because other teams are trying to figure out, hey, who the fifth starter in the rotation is, who's going to be, you know, the middle reliever, who's got the chance to be the setup guy, you know. Whereas the Rockies are trying to win spring training. We won the Cactus League! Woohoo! 62-100 regular season. But we won the Cactus League.
5-2. Good pitching. In fact, the guy they got, the one guy that actually has big league experience in the Nolan deal, Gomber.
Yeah, Gomber.
Pitched 2 innings. No runs.
Wow.
1 strikeout. Get him on your fantasy team, everybody.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Next on the Morning Brew.
I'm feeling fine. I'm a little bit stiff. I have one more MRI scheduled so that we'll see if the annulus has scarred over finally, and then I can start doing more activities. But still in the gym, still doing the mundane stuff that you have to do for rehab, you know, the little things, and before I can start gravitating towards something a little more.
Well, that was Tiger Woods before he had the car crash, and he was talking about rehabbing, you know, his most recent back surgery. Boy, he's got some mammoth rehab ahead of him. Cool gesture, by the way, by a number of golfers on the PGA Tour at their event yesterday, as a number of them wore red jerseys in honor of Tiger. And Tiger, you know, sent out the message he was genuinely touched by what so many of the golfers did. But you and I were talking about a Peter King Football Morning in America article that we were digesting. And in it, he talked with I guess orthopedist about what Tiger's recovery looks like,
right?
How it even compares to the Alex Smith injury. And this guy said that the Tiger injury was actually worse than the Alex Smith injuries to the leg and feet. So it was this doctor's impression. He goes, look, I would never put anything past Tiger, but I'd be surprised if he ever plays competitively again. He'll play. He can play, you know, play with his kids,
right?
As far as competitively, he doesn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't put it past Tiger to be able to overcome that and play competitively again. But, you know, the biggest issue, as you well know, is, you know, getting through the infection part. That's the biggest issue. And so you get through that without getting any infection in that. And anytime the bone breaks the skin, and that is one of those things, it's a very touchy situation. So, we'll see exactly how that goes, but, you know, it's going to be quite some time before you can even start rehabbing that. And then on top of the back thing, obviously it's just not good.
Coming up, Teflon Bud Black, Teflon Michael Malone, Teflon Vic Fangio. It's a recurring theme with James Merrillat. Why does he have a problem with all our coaches? He'll join us next. Yeah, I got to wear this before we bring James on. I talked about how during the brew, a bunch of golfers wore red jerseys to honor Tiger. I'm clearly rattled right now with the whole jersey sweater shirt thing.
I let it go. I heard you say the jerseys. And I go, I know what he's
saying. Larry sent in a text. Golfers don't wear jerseys, Mike. Another one, Mike. Golfers don't wear jerseys. They wear shirts just like yours, but smaller. And I'm clearly rattled. I'm rattled between the whole jersey, sweater, shirt thing, and
you cannot let hockey guy get under your skin.
No. I have to own that one.
I'm telling you, you let hockey guy get under your skin. You're all nervous about the terms and terminology, and hockey guy coming after you.
Oh, hey, hell hath no fury like a hockey fan.
The golfing fans are casual. Like, come on, Mike, it's just a shirt.
Right.
Hockey fan are like, what the hell are you talking about? Don't you know? It's not a jersey. It's a sweater.
James Merrillat, who runs all things his domain, his kingdom, at denverfan.com. He joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. James, good morning. And,
morning.
You know, you talk about coaches in this town, and you talk about how, boy, Michael Malone skates, Vic Fangio skates, Bud Black skates. What's your beef with all these coaches and managers? Don't you want to hold the accountability where it deserves to be, the players?
Well, I think
in the front office,
I think the players get held accountable all the time. That's my issue. I think the front office gets held accountable more. I think ownership gets held accountable more. I think players get chucked under the bus. I think in large part, coaches in this town get a free pass. And look, it's, in the last two decades, there's been one championship in this town. That's the Broncos in 2015. Before that, you got to go all the way back to 2001 when the Avs won the Stanley Cup and when Ray Bourque was here. So, I mean, that's a long stretch with one title with four major teams playing every year. So that's 80 seasons and one championship. So there's a lot of accountability to go around. But, yeah, there's just all sorts of excuses. I mean, another guy that's on that list, and I'm a CU fan, and this, you know, it seems strange to not be happy with 20 win seasons and making the tournament. But it's Groundhog Day up in Boulder. This year has to be different, or Tad Boyle, there's got to be some questions too, right? Like, to me, they're doing the same thing up there that George Karl did when he was with the Nuggets, where it's get in the first round and lose all the time. Making the tournament, getting bounced in the first round, at some point, that can't be enough. You have to make the leap. You have to get to the Sweet 16. So it's a matter of high expectations, and I think everybody needs to be held accountable, including the coaches.
I would agree with you, although I do think it's interesting when it comes to kind of the leadership role that a coach plays versus the players. This is Michael Malone after the game on Saturday.
I felt tonight was like Denver Nugget basketball. You know, the ball was moving, bodies were moving. We played for each other. And I talked to our team about that this morning. We have to get back to being a team that is hard to guard. And obviously, I have to continue to help our guys with that.
See, there's the issue for me. Is that until you have players that take it upon themselves to play the way the game was created to be played, until you have that type of leadership within your locker room, then, like, the coach can't be the guy that's constantly harping on his players the right way to play the game. And that, to me, is that's a failure of locker room leadership from your players. What do you say about that?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you on that. You know, I think that the perfect scenario is always when the best player on the team buys into what the coach is saying, right? That's what worked in San Antonio for so long when Tim Duncan bought into what Greg Popovich was saying and they rode that to five championships. That's what worked in New England for two decades when Tom Brady bought into what Bill Belichick was saying, and that's why it worked there and didn't work when Belichick, disciples went to other places and tried to do the Patriots way. That's the perfect scenario. But if that means we're blaming Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, okay, if it's their fault, though, how do you fix that? Like, you're not going to be able to replace those guys, not the way the NBA is structured, not the way, you know, it works in free agency in terms of trying to get a star to come to Denver. Like, those have to be the guys. So to me, if you're not getting through to them, and this is a team for the last 3 years has lost so many games to bad basketball teams, not teams that are a little bit below them, but like the worst teams in the NBA. I mean, they've lost twice to the Wizards this year. They lost to the Hawks. It's the same thing we saw last year. It's the same thing we saw the year before. That's a team that doesn't, you know, show up ready to go and take care of business against a bad team. So Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray can sit on the bench in the fourth quarter and get some rest. Is that on the players? Sure, but you're not going to be able to get rid of them and replace them. To me, it's also on the head coach, because he obviously isn't getting that message across and not getting other messages across. That's why he's Teflon Malone to me. At some point, he's responsible for that too. And unfortunately, in professional sports, the head coach is a heck of a lot more replaceable than the players.
Mm. Well, I think of the great Chuck Daly line, you know, I got to get their permission to coach him. You know, in the NBA, you talk about the NBA, but I think it applies really to all sports.
Yeah.
And so, you know, do you put this on a Jokic and a Murray? Do you put it on a McKinnon and a Landeskog? Hey, it's your job to set that tone, to be what the Tim Duncan was to Greg Popovich that you just talked about. Or is it up to management to say, hey, I gotta bring in my DeMarcus Ware to not only be a good player, but also serve that mentor role?
I think it's probably more on management. But I also think it's, look, there may be a reason why people aren't buying into Michael Malone. You know, we've all played on teams, whatever level, where we all looked at the coach and said, nope, that's, I just don't buy what this guy's selling. I just don't buy it. And I think part of the issue with Michael Malone is his inconsistency. And this goes back to my Michael Porter Jr., beef or rant, is that, you know, he's a guy who is not allowed to make mistakes, and we continue to hear about what a defensive liability is, but Jamichael Green, a veteran, can make two boneheaded plays at the end of the Wizards game that cost the Nuggets a chance to win that one, and both of those on the defensive end. And he gets a free pass. Will Barton, if you watch the Hawks game, he just had a good seat for watching Trae Young go to the hoop. I mean, he just stood there and Olayed him all day, but Will Barton gets a free pass. Players sense that stuff. Players know when it's a double standard. Players know when, you know, you seem to be picking on one guy but not on other guys. And that just, that undermines your credibility, and it makes it to where it's like, I don't know that I buy into what this guy's selling, because it's a different story every day, right? So I think that's part of the issue, but yeah, maybe it is a veteran guy that needs to come in here, and just show these guys, hey, here's how you need to prepare, and here's how you need to, you know, make sure you're ready to go 82 games a year. That's on management, but it's also on management that, hey, they picked the coach. They got to determine if that's the right guy to lead the ship.
All right. A lot going on this week. You can check out everything. James is just, he's not Teflon James when it comes to management, okay?
No.
You talk about a coach, a manager. He is not Teflon Merrilat when it comes to running
accountability.
That tight ship that is DenverFan.com. James, thank you.
Ripping on all the writers.
He's
not afraid.
That's right. Millennial Ben with a bad blog. Mm-mm. You're benched. All right. Thanks, James.
See you guys.
James Merrilat on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. So one of our own is really pushing for Zach Wilson. We'll add a little bit more fuel to his case. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.